We've been looking at Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. And I just, in scrolling quickly through my notes this evening, I was kind of appalled at how long we've been in the 16th chapter. Is much here. And I thought it fit this evening to do something a little different and go back at the beginning of the chapter and just try to do a review of sorts down through these verses. Hopefully we get down through the 40th verse tonight, but if not, so be it. So in verse 1, starts out, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, unto Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. And notice what the word of the Lord says to Ezekiel. Son of man, we have found in just these 16 chapters that we've looked at, that seems to be God's favorite term for Ezekiel. Son of man. And he addresses him, son of man, and says, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Son of man, Ezekiel, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And they are great and they are many. We looked at many of them in the 8th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And he would list one abomination, show him one abomination there in Jerusalem. And then he said, and behold, greater abomination. More abomination, and they take him and show him another great abomination. And on it went that way through the 8th chapter. Cause her to know her abominations. Do I know those things which I do that are abominable before God? Do you know those things which are abominable before God? And if you're here tonight and you're one of His, you have been caused to see, caused to be alive things of God, and to see your sinfulness, and to repent of your sin, and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we certainly ought to be aware of that which is abominable before God. Jerusalem, Israel, Judah, as the people of God, as the chosen people of God in the Old Testament and in the New, they're still a chosen people of the Lord. Don't forget that. And they were given the law of God, the commandments of God. And they were told that if you heed and you obey and you do this, God's blessings be upon you. But if you disobey the law and the commandments of God, the word of God, cursing, condemnation would fall upon you. And so he says, cause them to know her abominations, as if though she forgot what was abominable to God. She had turned away from God, as we're going to see down through this. But notice in verse 3, he says, "And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite." In other words, they were evil and wicked people. Their birth and their nativity was a wicked and an evil people. No people of pride and stature. And look what he says in verse 4. "And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the clothing of thy person in the day that thou wast born." He compares Jerusalem, Israel, their beginnings, their birth, as that to an infant that is born to these vile and wicked people who didn't want anything to do with this infant. So much so that they did not cut the navel cord. They did not clean them up, wash them. They did not swaddle them in blankets and cuddle them close to them. But cast them out in the field, in the wilderness, to die. That is the condition that every one of us are in or were in. If you're not saved, you're in that condition. Same condition. You're dead. This infant here is a picture of one that was dead. Condition that every one of us was in. But notice verse 6. "And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." The Lord God looked upon her in love. He had love for her. And he said to her, live. A condition that every one of us was in, dead in sin and trespasses. Ephesians 2:1 tells us that we were dead in sins and trespasses, and we were going after our own desires and our own passions and following the prince and power of the air, carrying out those evil and vile works, telling us all that in verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, and then verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, said, live. Verse 1 said, "And you hath he quickened." God quickened. His Spirit quickened us. John chapter 6 and verse 63 said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that maketh alive. The Spirit said, live. We were born again. We were regenerated. We were given life. And when we were given life, we were given light. Light to see our sinfulness before God. Having that light to see our sinfulness before God, cried out. He granted us, he gave to us repentance, and he gave to us faith. That is, we repented of our sins and abhorring our sins and saying the same thing about our sins that God says about them. Oh, Jesus Christ, dying for my sins, being resurrected for my justification, for my forgiveness of my sins, all because God, because of His mercy, His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So He looks upon her in love and compassion, and He says, live. In verse 7, I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Before that, before she was naked and bare, dead. But God caused her to bud forth. She's adorned and excellent. She began to grow as a young woman grows into maturity. Verse 8 says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Spreading the skirt over was an indication of taking her to wife, being espoused to her and taking her to be his wife. And covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Yes, He showed His intentions for her by spreading His skirt over her. Oh, I want to marry you. I'm going to marry you. And then He enters into a covenant. He enters into a marriage contract, covenant with her. He took her to be his wife. Notice what he did for her. He said, then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. And I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with embroidered work. Embroidered work, the finest of embroidered work, the finest of clothing, rich apparel. Clothed her in. And shod thee with badger skin. Oh, give her the finest of shoes. High heels. Stilettos, if that's your thing, ladies. I know that's not my wife's thing, but he gave her good shoes. Goodly apparel. And I girded thee about with fine linen. Fine linen in the scriptures is rich, expensive linen. Fine linen in the scriptures is type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I covered thee with silk. Silk is for the rich. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. Wow, what woman wouldn't love that? To have all that lavished upon them. God says, I did that for my wife. I did that for you, Jerusalem. I did that for you, Israel, Judah. And put shoes on thy forehead, and earrings in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen, and silk, embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour, honey, and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. Notice everything that God did for her. Think about, if you're here and saved tonight, if you're one of you, think of everything that God has done for you. How He has richly blessed you. Not in things of this world, but in things spiritual. Giving to you eternal life. Setting you, if you're in one of His churches, setting you in one of His churches. He's adorned us greatly. He's adorned us with the garments of salvation, Isaiah said. The garments of salvation. He's adorned us with His righteousness. The righteousness of God. And He's made her Jerusalem's renown. Her name. She became famous among the nations round about her, far and near. The likeness there is in the days of David and Solomon, is when her fame really spread. During the days of Solomon, endued with great wisdom and great riches. And the queen from the south, way south, Bathsheba, came up to view, to see for herself the wisdom and the magnificence of Solomon. See the wisdom and the magnificence of Jerusalem that God had endowed her with. And she left there saying, surely God hath given you all this. God hath given you great wisdom and given you great riches. So her renown was spread into the heathen nations. But verse 15, it changes. God had done all this for her. He took her to wife. He adorned her with gold and with silver and with fine apparel. Fed her with the finest of food. In verse 15, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty and played the harlot because of thy renown and pourst out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. She was lifted up with pride because she was so beautiful, because she had such great wealth, such prominence among the nations. She was lifted with pride. She turned away from God. God said, you played the harlot because of your beauty. He equates her to being a harlot. In other words, she left Him and went out and committed adultery with her lovers. And of thy garments, thou didst take and decked thy high places with divers colors and placed the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. She had built high places, places of worship to idols. We see in the 8th chapter, of the book of Ezekiel. All kinds of idols. I mean, there was nothing that she didn't have an idol to. Of beasts, of fishes in the sea, of fowls in the air, of the celestial heavens, the stars and the constellations and the moon and the sun. Worship them all. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver. Notice God says, it was my gold, it was my silver. I gave it to you. I gave it to you to worship me with, to honor me with, to praise me with. And you took it, my gold and my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit with them. You took that which God had given you to use to honor, glorify Him and to praise Him and to worship Him, and you served your own lust with it. How much do we do that today? God has given us great things, many things, more things than we can count, more things than we need. Could do with a lot less. And all He wants us to do is to honor Him, to praise Him for giving it us, for blessing us so, and worship Him, fall down before Him, exalt Him, abase ourselves. But we turn away from Him with those things. We use those things. Very rarely giving thought that God hath so richly blessed us. And we use them for our own enjoyments, our own pleasures. Not thank God for them. And took us thy broidered garments, them. She covered the idols, those images of men that she made. She covered them with rich clothing that God had given to her. And set mine oil and mine incense before them. That oil and that incense which he gave them, it was His oil, His incense, He gave to them to worship Him specifically in their worship, tabernacle, and then in temple worship. And He said, you're using it to worship your idols. You've played the harlot. You've committed adultery. You've fornicated against me. My meat, my food, also which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast ever set it before them for a sweet savor, for a sweet smell. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Our God can smell. Those things which God created, the celestials and the animals, and so they were worshiping them. They were all taking that stuff that God, that food that God had given to them to worship Him with in offering sacrifices and burnt offerings. And they were offering sacrifices and burnt offerings to their idols. Not the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters. Get this one. Thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast born unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter? Is this a small matter? You're taking your children, your sons, and your daughters, and you're You're offering them on the altar. You're killing them, slaying them to offer unto your idols, and then you're giving the food from them, the meat from them, to those idols to be eaten. Not America done the same thing? Americans crying out, my body, my choice. I do with my body as I want. What's that sound like? Does not that sound like idolatry? Worshiping self? Instead of worshiping God? You were created by God. It's not your body. And that which was put in your womb was created by God. And it's not yours to do with as you please. You can read Psalm 127, and you'll find there that children are a heritage of the Lord. They are the inheritance of the Lord. They're His possessions. And the womb, the fruit of the womb, is His reward. He gives it. He gives you a reward by giving you a child to care for and to bring up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Not as you see fit, but as thus saith the Word of God. We're to bring our children up according to this book. They're His children. He gives them to us, but they're His, He says. And they were given them to pass through the fire, sacrifice. And we're killing the unborn babies by the thousands. Because women says it's my body, my choice. And men fall in line with it. And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth. Remember the days of her youth? When no one pitied her, no one cared for her. Didn't even cut her navel cord, didn't even wash her, didn't even wrap her in blankets and cuddle her close to them. But cast them out in the wilderness, discarded them as you would trash and rubbish. He says, you don't remember what I did for you. When I looked upon you in love and I said, live. Live. And you begin to bud and you begin to grow into womanhood. And I spread my skirt over you and entered into a marriage contract with you, covenant with you. Did that with her at Mount Sinai. Did not remember the days of her youth when thou wast naked and bare and was polluted in thy blood. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God. It's not a good thing when God pronounces a woe, a double woe against you. That thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place and hast made thee an high place in every street. She built an eminent place like the temple, like an altar, like the altar of burnt offering, an eminent place, and then put high places in every street corner. Many places to worship idols, not to worship God, but to worship idols. In the United States of America, we have churches just about on every street corner. Some of them are churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. His kind of church. The kind that He built. The kind that you can follow through the New Testament. And they have the teachings of the apostles, which got their teachings from Jesus Christ. How many of those churches is He about to remove the candlestick? How many of those churches has He removed the candlestick? Because they left Him. They left following His word. They compromised to the desires of flesh and blood rather than heeding thus, saith the Lord. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors. Committed fornication with the Egyptians, their neighbors. What does that mean? Well, if you remember what it means she trusted in the Egyptians. When she was in trouble, thought she was in trouble or wanted help in some way, she ran to the Egyptians. We've seen that in going through the Old Testament, where kings ran to the Egyptians for help when they were in trouble. Committed for they left God. They should have trusted in God to deliver them. As did Ezekiel, or not Ezekiel, Hezekiah. Remember Hezekiah? When Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against him? He trusted in the Lord. He sent messengers to Isaiah. He received a letter from Sennacherib. He spread it out before the Lord and went to the Lord in prayer over it. He trusted in God to deliver him. But there were kings that did not. They ran to Egypt. Great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. The Philistines invaded the cities of the south of Judah and took the cities and occupied the cities. They're all part of God's judgment for trusting in the Egyptians and not trusting in Him. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrian. Uh-huh. She went to trusting the Assyrians. We know that to be so during the days of Ahaz, right? Ahaz joined into league with the Assyrians. Paid tribute to the Assyrians. Because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them. And yet couldest not be satisfied. So we have the Egyptians being her lovers. We have the Assyrians being her lovers. Not God. Not the one that she was married to. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan, the Chaldee. And yet thou wast not satisfied therewith. I mean, her lust was so insatiable that she even went to the Canaanites looking for more lovers, looking for more idols to worship. And that wasn't enough. She spread it from Canaan all the way over to Chaldee. The Babylonians. And the Babylonians are going to be the ones to bring the wrath of God upon her. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God. Seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman. That word imperious is domineering, whorish woman. And that thou buildest thine eminent places in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot, in that thou scornest hire. A harlot takes wages from her johns, from those that she's going to fall into bed with. She takes wages, she takes money, she takes gifts from them. But here he says, Jerusalem, she was playing the harlot and not taking hire. She scorned the hire. Notice what he says in verse 32. But as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband, that give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers. She gave gifts to her lovers. She gave gifts to the Egyptians. She gave gifts to the Assyrians. She gave gifts to the Canaanites. She gave gifts to the Chaldeans. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms. Whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms. And in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee. Therefore, thou art contrary. Wherefore, O Lord, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered, though thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them. Behold, therefore I will gather all thy lovers, with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated, I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy. How were women judged in the Old Testament that broke wedlock? Well, verse 39, and I will also give thee into the hand, their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels and leave thee naked, and bear. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through their swords. You see, whether it was woman or whether it was a male, if they were unfaithful in wedlock, if they committed adultery in wedlock, they were taken outside the gate and they were stoned to death. And God here has charged Jerusalem, Israel and Judah, all of them, with adultery. Adultery in the fact that she left God and went to trusting in these others and building idols of their makings, idols of the Egyptians' making, idols of the Assyrians' making, idols of the Canaanites' makings, idols of the Chaldeans' makings. She trusted in them, not in the Lord God. And we said, how many times do we turn away from God? We turn away from what He has revealed to us right here in this book. He's given us this book. He's revealed Himself to us. This is His commandments. This is His law for us. We're to be governed by that. We are to love that because it's the Word of God. Not to turn aside from Him. That is to be disobedient to His Word. But we're to be obedient to His Word. And just as He was long-suffering with Israel, and then she was carried away into captivity, and He was long-suffering another over 100 years with Judah, and then she was carried away into captivity, and the city of Jerusalem destroyed, the temple destroyed. Listen, God will be long-suffering with us. He will punish His people, those whom He has redeemed, those whom He said live, gave repentance and gave faith to. He punishes them. He punishes them with chastisement, as a father does his child. He punishes them. But those that are not His, those that are yet dead in sin and trespasses, His punishment is unto condemnation, unto utter destruction in the lake of fire. Next week we'll go on with verse 41, 42, and 43, looking at the purpose of God's wrath, the purpose of God's judgment coming upon them. He says, the purpose is in verse 41, I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot. And that's the purpose of His judgment coming upon them. And we'll take a look at that next week.